A woman sits by a river in Spain, her tears falling into water that legend says transforms everything it touches into stone. She hopes her pain will harden, become something she can finally leave behind. But what if the real transformation isn't about forgetting, it's about remembering? Paulo Coelho's By the River Piedra I Sat Down and Wept opens with this haunting image, pulling us into a story that has quietly revolutionized how millions understand the intersection of love and spirituality. Before bestsellers made the divine feminine fashionable, this slim novel was already exploring what happens when we rediscover the sacred aspects of ourselves we've buried under layers of practicality and fear. Pilar has built a careful existence, university studies, reasonable ambitions, a life insulated against disappointment. Then a childhood friend reappears after 12 years, his eyes blazing with spiritual intensity. When he speaks of magic moments and following dreams, something long dormant stirs within her. Despite every rational objection, she accepts his invitation to attend his next lecture. Their reunion crackles with tension between who they've become. She's pursued security, while he's embraced risk and spiritual exploration. When he returns her long-lost childhood medal and completes a sentence begun over a decade ago, "I love you," the weight of unfinished business floods back. This isn't merely romantic reunion. It's about whether Pilar can reconnect with her own capacity for wonder, with the child who believed in miracles before adult pragmatism calcified around her heart. Traveling through Spain and France, Pilar's rational worldview begins cracking. A young woman named Brida performs moonlit rituals by Madrid's Plaza Sabel, playing hypnotic flute music. Suddenly, Pilar senses the moon reflecting her own womanhood, an intuitive knowing beyond intellectual understanding. The pivotal shift comes during the Exercise of the Other, a meditation confronting her fearful, controlling alter ego. She imagines herself as she wants to be, happy, curious, fighting for desires, loving freely. In this vision, she sees her other self, weak yet pretending strength, fearful yet calling it wisdom, cowering in the corner. This recognition reveals how thoroughly she's shut herself off from joy. These awakenings aren't abstract theology, but sensory immersion, hypnotic flute, warming sunlight, organ music echoing through empty halls. Through tangible moments of transcendence, Pilar reclaims parts of herself she'd dismissed as childish. She's learning that wisdom isn't always rational. Some truths can only be felt, not thought. At the novel's heart lies a radical proposition. God possesses a feminine face that traditional religion has systematically suppressed. In the church at St. Savin, a statue shows infant Jesus lifting Mary toward heaven, his arm raised skyward supporting the mother. This artistic detail becomes a powerful metaphor for the interdependence of masculine and feminine divine principles. When Pilar reads about the concept of God as both father and mother, something clicks. At a charismatic gathering in Lourdes, she thinks, "How wonderful that God may be a woman. If that's true, then it was certainly God's feminine face that taught us how to love." This insight connects the feminine divine, specifically, with love's transformative power. While masculine divinity emphasizes justice or power, the feminine face emphasizes compassion and connection. Behind a waterfall, her companion reveals his healing gifts and mission to restore the feminine principle in faith. When he describes returning his gift to the mother's breast, the language explicitly frames the feminine divine as the source of spiritual power. What makes this theological exploration compelling is that it's never abstract doctrine, but lived experience, manifesting through Mary's statue, the moon's reflection, the cathedral-like cavern described as Mother Earth's protective womb. Throughout the novel, love emerges as paradox, simultaneously destructive and creative. Pilar initially resists, acknowledging that love is a trap. When it appears, we see only its light, not its shadows. Her defenses stem from past hurts and fear of vulnerability. She describes love as a narcotic, beginning with euphoria, then craving more while still believing you maintain control. The breakthrough comes when she rejects her fearful other self. Love is always new, regardless of how many times we experience it. Love takes us somewhere, heaven or hell, but always somewhere. At Lourdes, Pilar realizes, "I had the courage to love, regardless of the price. Even if loving meant leaving, solitude, or sorrow, love was worth every penny." Yet when she learns her companion surrendered his healing gift for her, she flees in panic, haunted by visions of miracles that will never happen. This reveals love's most challenging paradox, that sometimes our greatest gift to another becomes their greatest sacrifice. Through Pilar's journey, we're invited to consider whether true love might be less about securing happiness than embracing transformation, whatever form it takes. Physical settings actively participate in the spiritual journey, each location serving as both literal place and metaphorical landscape. The journey moves from Madrid's conventional world through increasingly sacred sites, the chapel where they defy prohibition, St. Savin's mystical atmosphere, Lourdes with its miracles, culminating at Piedra's monastery ruins, a cautionary tale about spiritual power misused. The climax occurs at the Horse's Tail Waterfall and the hidden grotto behind it, a cathedral-like cavern accessed through complete darkness. Pilar describes it as Mother Earth's protective womb, with light filtering through cascading water, creating an emerald green lake. This womb-like space becomes where old identities die and new possibilities emerge. The River Piedra itself completes the sacred geography. Its legendary power to turn everything to stone becomes a metaphor for how writing transforms fluid experience into enduring wisdom. This attention to physical setting creates tangible spirituality that grounds the novel's metaphysical themes, inviting us to recognize how physical journeys can mirror and catalyze spiritual transformations in our own lives. After fleeing the grotto, Pilar collapses on frozen monastery grounds, devastated that her love caused him to surrender his healing gift. In her semi-conscious state, she hears a parable of two lovers who each sacrificed their most precious possessions for each other, he selling his watch to buy her a hair barrette, she selling her hair to buy him a watch band. This story mirrors her crisis. Love inevitably involves both giving and losing what we most value. When Pilar awakens in the convent, she shares a story about visiting a church where they'd experienced joy listening to flamenco music, only to discover it was being played for a funeral. A woman gently corrects her. "You had focused only on the sad ending, forgetting the beautiful moments." This insight captures the novel's approach to suffering, not denying pain, but contextualizing it within a larger narrative that includes joy. The woman advises Pilar to write out her feelings and throw them into the River Piedra, whose waters turn everything to stone. This provides the framework for the novel itself. By transforming fluid emotions into concrete words and surrendering those words to the river, Pilar completes her journey of transformation. Her tears become acts of alchemical change, turning liquid sorrow into enduring wisdom that comes from loving completely.